My fellow Americans, all the celebration of this day is rooted in history. 56 men came forward to sign the parchment. Their courage created a nation built on a universal claim to human dignity, on the proposition that every man, woman, and child had a right to a future of freedom.
That declaration is still a revolutionary document.
And in every generation, Americans have rededicated themselves to the belief that all men are created equal, the God-given right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
It is a hope that someday every people and every nation of the world will know the blessings of liberty. And it's the hope of millions all around the world.
For that declaration unleashed not merely a revolution against the British, but a revolution in human affairs.
This love of liberty is what binds our nation together. This is the love that makes us all Americans.
Through whatever trial and travail, we pledge ourselves to each other and to the cause of human freedom, the cause that has given light to this land.
May God bless forever the United States of America.
Gentlemen, there is no longer any ground for hope. If we wish to be free, if we wish to preserve inviolate those inestimable privileges which belong to us as free men.
Aye.
Aye.
If we mean not basely to abandon the noble struggle in which we have been so long engaged, in which we have pledged ourselves never to abandon until the glorious object of our struggle be obtained, then we must fight.
I repeat it, sir.
We must fight.
Fight!
And appeal to all and to the God of hosts is all we have left us.
To arms, Mr. Henry. What arms? We are weak, sir.
They tell us, sir, that we are weak. Unable to cope with so powerful an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week? Or the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs, hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemy hath bound us hand and foot? Sir, we are not weak. If we make a proper use of those means the God of nature hath placed in our power, 3 millions of people, armed in the holy cause of liberty, and in such a country that which we possess, are invincible by any force our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations, who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sirs, we have no election. Should we be base enough to desire it, it is now already too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat, but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged, their clanking may be heard upon the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. And let it come. I repeat it, sir. Let it come.
Mr. Henry, we speak for peace, sir.
It is in vain to
extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that blows from the north shall bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that they wish? What would they have? Is life so dear? Or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
So that was Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death, with a little ES weather warning in there. So I apologize for that. It kind of takes the, especially towards the end, which the whole speech leads up to that. But maybe I'll get that on the social media so you can look at it as whole. It's actually a nice production that with actors and everything that portrayed that. It's coming up on 3:30 here at WILK.
We are now on this continent, to the astonishment of the world, 3 millions of souls united in one cause. We have large armies, well-disciplined and appointed, with commanders inferior to none in military skill and superior in activity and zeal. We are furnished with arsenals and stores beyond our most sanguine expectations, and foreign nations are waiting to crown our success by their alliances. There are instances of, I would say, an almost astonishing providence in our favor. Our success has staggered our enemies and almost given faith to infidels. So we may truly say it is not our own arm which has saved us. The hand of heaven appears to have led us on to be, perhaps, humble instruments and means in the great providential dispensation which is completing. We cannot suppose that our opposition has made a corrupt and dissipated nation more friendly to America, or created in them a greater respect for the rights of mankind. We can, therefore, expect a restoration and establishment of our privileges and a compensation for the injuries we have received from their want of power, from their fears, and not from their virtues. The unanimity and valor which will effect an honorable peace can render a future contest for our liberties unnecessary. He who has strength to chain down the wolf is a madman if he let him loose without drawing his teeth and paring his nails. We have no other alternative than independence, or the most ignominious and galling servitude. The legions of our enemies thicken on our plains. Desolation and death mark their bloody career, whilst the mangled corpses of our countrymen seem to cry out to us as a voice from heaven. Our union is now complete, our constitution composed, established, and approved. You have now, in the field, armies sufficient to repel the whole force of your enemies and their base and mercenary auxiliaries. The hearts of your soldiers beat high with the spirit of freedom. They are animated with the justice of their cause, and while they grasp their swords, can look up to heaven for assistance. Your adversaries are composed of wretches who laugh at the rights of humanity, who turn religion into derision, and would, for higher wages, direct their swords against their leaders or their country. Go on, then, in your generous enterprise, with gratitude to heaven for past success and confidence of it in the future. For my own part, I ask no greater blessing than to share with you the common danger and common glory. If I have a wish dearer to my soul than that my ashes may be mingled with those of a Warren and a Montgomery, it is that these American states may never cease to be free and independent.
Well, that was Samuel Adams on independence. Also, he's got a hell of a beer. A lot of people might be indulging in this weekend, on this 4th of July weekend. But if you are, make sure it's responsible and stay away from the fireworks. Leave it to the professionals. You can come down here to Scrantastic in Courthouse Square, 9:30 tonight. We will have a hell of a fireworks show here done by professionals to where you can just enjoy it, go home with your family with all your toes and fingers, and maybe partake in one of them Sam Adams. But you just heard from the man himself on why he is so famous. It is 3:41 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show.
While the nation is buoyant with patriotism and all hearts are attuned to praise, it is with sorrow we come to strike the one discordant note on this 100th anniversary of our country's birth. When subjects of kings, emperors, and czars from the old world join in our national jubilee, shall the women of the republic refuse to lay their hands with benedictions on the nation's head? Surveying America's exposition, surpassing in magnificence those of London, Paris, and Vienna, shall we not rejoice at the success of the youngest rival among the nations of the earth? May not our hearts, in unison with all, swell with pride at our great achievements as a people, our free speech, free press, free schools, free church, and the rapid progress we have made in material wealth, trade, commerce, and the inventive arts. And we do rejoice in the success, thus far, of our experiment of self-government. Our faith is firm and unwavering in the broad principles of human rights proclaimed in 1776, not only as abstract truths, but as the cornerstones of a republic. Yet we cannot forget, even in this glad hour, that while all men of every race and clime and condition have been invested with the full rights of citizenship under our hospitable flag, all women still suffer the degradation of disenfranchisement. The history of our country, the past 100 years, has been a series of assumptions and usurpations of power over women in direct opposition to the principles of just government, acknowledged by the United States as its foundation. From the beginning of the century, when Abigail Adams, the wife of one president and mother of another, said, "We will not hold ourselves bound to obey laws in which we have no voice or representation." Until now, woman's discontent has been steadily increasing, culminating nearly 30 years ago in a simultaneous movement among the women of the nation demanding the right of suffrage. In making our just demands, a higher motive than the pride of sex inspires us. We feel that national safety and stability depend on the complete recognition of the broad principles of our government. And now, at the close of 100 years, as the hour hand of the great clock that marks the centuries points to 1876, we declare our faith in the principles of self-government, our full equality with man in natural rights, that woman was made first for her own happiness, with the absolute right to herself, to all the opportunities and advantages life affords for her complete development. And we deny that dogma of the centuries, incorporated in the codes of all nations, that woman was made for man. Her best interest, in all cases, to be sacrificed to his will. We ask of our rulers at this hour no special favors, no special privileges, no special legislation. We ask justice. We ask equality. We ask that all the civil and political rights that belong to citizens of the United States be guaranteed to us and our daughters forever.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here live from downtown Scranton at the Scrantastic Spectacular. I apologize for the EES warnings, but your safety is our primary concern. We do have storms moving through the area. Hopefully they're going to skirt. I was just looking at the radar. Hopefully they skirt us down here in downtown Scranton. Should be a little north of us. The last ones were south of us. There's that window there. We might get a sprinkle, but I don't think it's going to be more than that. Right now the sun's out. All right, again, another EAS here. We're coming up on the 4 o'clock hour here on WILK News Radio. We will be here for the next 2 hours, rain or shine, EAS alerts or not. But right now the sun's out, so come on down, join us. Things are going to kick off here at the 4 o'clock hour on WILK News Radio. In the 4 o'clock hour, we should have Congressman Rob Bresnahan calling in to give us an update on what took place in Washington. He has put out a statement. I have shared that on social media, and you'll hear it directly from him sometime in the 4 o'clock.